Scripture passage this morning is taken from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. I love going to churches where I don't have to figure out the songs and the order of worship. I just have to show up and give the message. I gave a message, the same title, it's not exactly the same message, in another church a couple of months back. So I sent the message and the idea of where I was planning to go this morning. And what I find interesting is Kathy sent me back her ideas of what she wanted to do. This is exactly the same as the last church I was in. Exactly. What are the odds of that? What are the odds that the same songs, the same litany, turned backwards from what it's written in the red hymnal, the same thing? It's amazing. Luke 11, first 13 verses. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, Father, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me. I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, it'll be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I don't know how many of you are familiar with Francis Chan. I love listening to Francis Chan's sermons on the internet. The other day, my second son said he'd had a slow day, so he'd listened to Francis Chan's sermons for 7 hours. Thought, wow, we must have done something right there. Anyway, Francis Chan was riding on an airplane, and he was sitting beside a Muslim, and they were in a conversation about religion and theology. And finally, Francis said to the Muslim, he said, "My God answers my prayers." Does your God? The Muslim said, "Yes, he does." And Francis was floored. It's like, this doesn't make sense. How could this be? He didn't know what to answer. He didn't know what to say. A little while later, the Muslim came back. And he said to Francis, "I lied. My God doesn't answer my prayers." I was reading in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7. "What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us when we pray to him?" So I want to talk about prayer this morning. Prayer is this powerful tool that God has given us. And I know that we say God is sovereign, and I know God is sovereign, and God does things his way. But he does listen to his people praying, and he answers prayers, and he changes things when we ask. That's a biblical truth. You know, I hear a lot of people bemoaning the perceived fact that the churches are shrinking, and I don't know if that's true or not. You know, there was a survey taken in 1929 that said 40% of Americans said they attend church every Sunday. Survey taken again in 2012 said 36% of Americans say they attend church every Sunday. That's 4 percentage points difference from 1929 to 2012. And I'm thinking in 1929, it was probably a little more difficult to tell the survey taker, no, we don't go to church, than it was in 2012. 2012, it might have been difficult to tell the survey taker, yes, we do go to church every Sunday. So I'm not sure that the church in America is shrinking. But even having said that, I know there's a lot of shrinking congregations, but when I see a growing congregation where the Word of God is actually preached, not one of these heretical wealth and health preachers, but where the Word of God is preached, and when I see one that's growing, you don't usually have to scratch very deep or look very deep before you find a congregation in prayer. I hear a lot of people say that prayer doesn't change anything except our hearts. And granted, prayer changes our hearts. When we start talking to God, we start seeing things differently, and it changes our heart. But God changes things in answer to prayer as well. Sharon and I have been working with a congregation that is having some difficulties for the last couple of years. I saw a picture of the congregation from the back from a few weeks ago, and about half the pews were filled. I remember a time when it was full to the front and they were setting up chairs in the back, and it's a sad thing to see. And a couple of months ago, well, backing up just a little, for 2 years now I've been telling them, look, this is what you should do. This is how you can begin to make a difference. It's not going to fix things, but this is how you could probably start to make things better. A couple of months ago, a couple from the church came to Sharon and said, would you and Royce pray with us for our congregation? Yes. So we got together, and we prayed, not that what we wanted would be done, but that what God wanted, because God knows what that congregation needs. He knows it a lot better than I know it. He knows it a lot better than anyone else would know it. We prayed, please, God, let things begin to improve and the church begin to grow and stop losing membership. And a month later, we met again. We had added another couple. Our goal is to add a couple every month until the whole congregation is involved in praying for this church. After we met the second time, a week later, one of the leaders of the church came to Sharon and said, I've got this idea of maybe what we ought to do to get the congregation growing again. And then they laid out everything I have been saying for 2 years that they ought to do. I came home and Sharon was on her knees in the middle of our living room praying. And she said, I'm just praying in thanks because it looks like God is finally moving here. And the selfish person I am, I'm thinking, what am I, chopped liver? 2 years I've been saying this. Maybe that's part of the reason it couldn't happen when I was saying it too, is because I would have been saying, whew, look what I did. And God doesn't want me to be proud about this, that, or anything else. Maybe it had to come from within the congregation instead of from the outside, but I see God doing something in answer to prayer. When you get down on your knees, God answers. You know, James says, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. I don't know how you do things here. If you're sick, do you call your elders to pray over you? That's kind of, I don't know about here, but it's kind of outside of our comfort zone, isn't it? We have wonderful doctors, and we have medicine. Sharon's been fighting cancer for 18 years, and she's in very good shape now, but she fought a sinus infection 18 months. Till this past spring. And she said to me, I want to call the elders to come and have them lay their hands on me and pray. And I said, okay. And I'm thinking, we don't do that. So she called a couple of elders. She called one elder, the head of the elders. And he called another elder, and he had to admit, he said, you know, I've never done this before. And it was kind of uncomfortable to call another elder and say, we need to go pray. And they came and they laid their hands on Sharon and they prayed. Sharon went in for another CAT scan. Sinus infection is all gone. And to be honest with you, in my world, I don't know what to do with that. I see God answering so many prayers nowadays that I really don't know how to handle it. And that's sad. This past week, I had a friend whose son was in the hospital here in Des Moines. In a terrible lot of pain. He was on IV pain medication. I learned something from someone this week in this congregation. I'll tell you about that later. She told me, when you pray, say, God, this is what I want. Wednesday night, I'm awake at 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, God, this is what I want. I want that young man to not have pain anymore. For them to be able to take off the IV pain medication and for him to begin having healing. I called his dad the next morning. His dad said he took a turn during the middle of the night. He's much better this morning. I know there were hundreds of people praying for that man. I didn't even tell Sharon I'd done that. But I noticed when I called his dad, she was there and she wanted to hear what was said. I was telling a man about it Friday night. I said, I haven't even told Sharon this. I prayed Wednesday night, and the man took a turn for the better just as I was praying. And Sharon looked at me and she says, you did? What time? And it turns out that just before I woke up and prayed, she had woke up, got out of bed, kneeled on the side of the bed and prayed for that young man. I wonder how many people at that time of the night were woken up by God and they prayed for that young man and he got healing. That doesn't seem to fit our culture. It doesn't seem to fit how we do things. Or maybe it's just me. Maybe you're used to that kind of stuff. I don't know. But I am coming to see that prayer is such a powerful thing, and I'm coming to see that God gets so involved in our lives and he answers so many things. And Jesus said, ask and I'll do it. And I don't understand why God answers some prayers and he doesn't answer other prayers. Sometimes our loved ones don't get better. Sometimes they die. I had a friend who was 50 years old. We prayed and prayed and he died. I say to people, you know, God raised Lazarus from the dead, but he still died. God raised the son of the widow of Nain, but he still died. I don't know why sometimes God answers so obviously and sometimes we pray and it's though the heavens bounce our prayers right back at us. You know, when Jesus was coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, they came to the crowd, and a man approached Jesus, and he knelt before him and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire, into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long will I put up with you? Come, bring the boy to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy. He was healed from that moment. The disciples came to Jesus in private, and they asked him, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there. It'll move. Nothing will be impossible for you. You know, God does extraordinary things, and sometimes all we have to do is ask, believing we'll get an answer. But I can tell you this, if you don't ask for extraordinary things, you won't get any. If you don't ask for extraordinary things, don't be disappointed in life if you don't get any. Ask. It will be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. And sometimes I wonder, how much do we not get because we don't ask? How much do we not advance the kingdom of God because we don't ask God to use us to build his kingdom? Because I have seen that if you say, God, use me to build your kingdom, he'll show up. Oh boy, will he show up. You know why I'm teaching school now? My wife never shares these things with me until later. That's how I ended up on the pulpit too, filling Sundays as Sharon goes to God and says, God, I don't think Royce is using all of his abilities. And the next thing I know, I'm on the pulpit. And so she came clean to me a while back and she said, yeah, I know, I've been in prayer again, thinking you're not doing everything you should be doing. And so I end up teaching Bible in the Christian school. And one of these days, to get even with her, I'm going to have to try and figure out if she's doing everything she should be doing, right? But you know, sometimes we don't ask. We think that we can do it. We think we know how to do things. You know, Matthew writes about Jesus coming to his own hometown. He began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? And isn't his mother's name Mary, and aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where did this man get these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to him, only in his hometown, his own house, is a prophet without honor. And he didn't do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Mark puts it this way, he couldn't do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them, and he was amazed at this lack of faith. Here was this rabbi, and he was wandering around from town to town, healing the sick, driving out the demon-possessed, bringing the dead back to life, and he comes back to his own hometown, and they say, yeah, we know him. That's Joseph's boy. You remember the story before he was born, right? His mom and daddy weren't even married. You know, we've grown up knowing God and knowing Jesus, most of us, haven't we? I don't want to be like the people of Nazareth who go, yeah, I always knew him. He's a part of my life. Someday I'll get to meet him in heaven. But I don't expect extraordinary things now. I don't want to be like that. I want to be the person who knows God is intimately involved in my life now, and God will do extraordinary things if I just ask him, because he cares and because he loves me so much. I don't want to be one of those people who says, when we pray, God changes our hearts. But he's sovereign, and he doesn't change the world. That may sound pious, and it may sound righteous, but I don't think it's true. I want to know that God is listening to my prayers. I want to know that God is answering them. I want to know that God is changing the world, my world. Because I'm building his kingdom. And for some reason that I don't understand, God uses us in that process. And he listens to us. And it's almost like he makes us partners in some small way to building his kingdom. And sometimes I think that we short ourselves by not asking God to use us, to change things, to miraculously intervene. I've seen so many times when God has intervened. And sometimes it's just small things. I remember I was about 20 years old, and on a Sunday afternoon, I went outside to do the chores. We had a lot where we had some very expensive bulls. The fence was broken out at a corner, and those bulls were gone into 80 acres of corn that was just about ready to be harvested. And if you know anything about cattle, you know that when corn is about to be harvested, if they get out in it, they will eat until they die. And I remember standing there and praying to God, oh God, I don't know how to get those bulls back out of 80 acres of standing corn. I have no clue what to do, but Lord, you could bring them back. And I went to get a hammer and some nails to put the fence back together. And as I was nailing that wooden fence back together, there came those bulls in a row, one behind the other, walking out of the cornfield, and they didn't come back to the place where they had broken out. They walked directly up to the gate. And I went and opened the gate, and they waited there for me to open the gate, and then they walked in, and I shut the gate behind them. And I went back inside, and I told my mom, I said, you know, this is what happened. This is what I prayed, and that's what happened. And my mom said, that was a pretty selfish prayer. And I thought to myself, yeah, but God answered it. And don't get me wrong, my mom is a very godly woman. But we get in this mindset where we don't ask God for things because we start to think we are worried about our life and our way. But sometimes God just wants to hear what our needs are. God just wants to hear what I really want. I emailed that I was going to talk about asking God, and that God answers prayer. And Winnie emailed back that she had a couple of stories she'd like to tell me sometime, how she has seen God active in her life and answering prayer. I'm sure many of you have heard these already, but Winnie's husband had a cardiac scare. And I believe, if I got it correctly, that the test said there were three blockages. He wore a Holter monitor. I've had to wear a Holter monitor before, too. Of course, the doctor just said to me, I think you're under too much stress. So they go into the doctor and have some tests run. And it's a couple of hours or more before they get to see the doctor to hear what the results are. So they sit out in the parking lot reading books, I believe she said. And her husband said, maybe we should pray. So he prayed, and then Winnie prayed. And when he prayed, God, I want the test to be mixed up, the results, that it's the results of the wrong person. So they go back into the doctor's office. The doctor looks at the tests and he says, Mike, I've got some bad news. You have AFib and you've got hardening of the arteries. And he says, oh wait, these are the wrong results. Mike didn't have any problems. Tests mixed up? And God does it? And when he was talking about her mom's house being available for sale in Newton and had been on the market and that finally the contract had gone out, run out with the realtor, there were some things that needed to be done for it before it could be sold. And so they knew another realtor who walked through the house and said, well, I do have a lady that I'd like to show it to. when he asked the ladies in a prayer group here to pray that this lady would fall in love with that house and have to have it, have to buy it. And one of you said, "You're awfully bold, aren't you, Winnie?" She said, "But that's what I want." The real estate agent took the lady through the house. The real estate agent didn't even have a contract on it to sell it. Took the lady through the house, and the lady said, "I have to have this house." God answers prayers in amazing ways. We have an elder in our church. He'd never served on the council before. We choose elders by drawing lots. Draw the names. And this man, around about August, had started praying and saying, "God, use me in some way. I just don't feel like I am really working in your kingdom as I should. Lord, use me in some way." And his name came up for nomination for elder. And he thought, "Oh, well, 50-50 chance they pull my name. It's not a big deal. I don't feel like I'm qualified for it." And then the night before the congregational meeting, he remembered his prayer and he thought, "Oh no, I'm toast." Want to know whose name came out of the plate first? That man. God is using him now. God answers prayers when we pray that his kingdom will be built. And sometimes he answers prayers and you go, "Why? Why does God get involved in our lives the way he does?" I asked Winnie when I was talking to her, I said, why do you think God answers prayer? She said, "It's relationship. It's relationship." I know a man who is an honest-to-goodness modern-day prophet. I never thought I would meet someone who was actually a prophet of God in our modern day. That doesn't seem right. We like to think that that ended with the last words written of the New Testament. But this man is. You remember the story of when David was anointed, God sends Samuel to Bethlehem, and the elders of Bethlehem come out to meet Samuel, and they're trembling because the prophet of God has come. And they're trembling because when a prophet of God comes, he doesn't bring good news. Usually he doesn't come and say, "Oh, God says you're doing a great job." No, usually they come and say, "This is where you are messing up. And if you don't change, this is what's going to happen." That's usually the message this man brings. And when he comes with a message like that and you think something isn't known, he knows it. Friday night, he said to me, "The Spirit has really laid something on my heart." He said, "There's a lot of people who are calling themselves Christians, but the day is going to come that they're going to stand before Jesus, and Jesus is going to say, 'I don't know you.' Go away."
You see, it's about relationship. It's about relationship. And I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. But I pray that every one of you has that relationship with God where you can ask Him for what you need and you know that He loves you and you know that He will give you what is best for you. I pray that every last one of you knows Jesus on that personal level. Because it's about relationship. It's about knowing God personally and talking to Him on a regular basis, telling Him what you need, telling Him what you want. And if you got that relationship, you will be asking for the right things. Jesus says, if you ask, in my name, I'll do it. I don't know how to take that, because I know God does a lot of things, and I also know there are times when you can ask and you can ask and you can ask and God says no. That's not going to stop me from asking. Ever. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for being our God. Hear your children when they pray. And help us to pray boldly. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we'll be led in prayer by Elder Tim. I was hoping someone was going to stand up.
How about now? There we are. Thank you, Royce, for that message. Feeling a little bit more pressure up here this morning doing this. It's very much appreciated. So thank you. Shall we go to our Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you have given us. We thank you for life. We thank you that we could come to your house of worship to spend time honoring and praising your name today. We thank you, Lord, for all the many blessings that you have given to us. Help us not to take anything for granted, Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. We thank you, Lord, for the homes that we have to live in. We thank you for the food that we have to eat on a daily basis. We thank you for the clothes we have to wear and the jobs that we can work at. For all this, Lord, we honor and give thanks to you. We ask the Lord, thank you for this church. We thank you for all the many blessings that you've given this church. But one thing we ask, Lord, and one thing we want is we want a pastor. We want a pastor to lead us on a weekly basis. We want a pastor to shepherd this flock. We ask you, Lord, to please provide that pastor for us. Please be with the search committee as they work through the process of looking for different pastors to do that. Give them the wisdom to know your plan for the pastor that will lead us next. And we thank you, Lord, for all the many willing servants who have come and led us in our worship services the past couple of years, and the blessings that each and every one has on us in their own way. We thank you, Lord, for the children and the impact we can have on them through this church and its programs. And as we plan for the upcoming year, Lord, please provide the volunteers joyfully willing to lead and teach the young lives in this church and all of our programs. Use each and every one of us in this church to build your kingdom. Please, God, there are many people who have illnesses or suffering the effects of sickness. We want healing, Lord. Please, God, grant us healing for the people that are suffering from those illnesses of cancer and surgeries. We ask, Lord, to please also be with those like Catherine Calamine, Don Ryerkirk, or Sonia Zambrano, and others, Lord, as they age and they deal with the health issues of growing old and the many years that you have blessed them with. Please, God, be with them. Be with all those in our congregation and our extended families who are dealing with the effects of cancer. Be with Eileen Meyer, LaVon, Jim Vanderkirk. Continue to be with my dad. Bless them, Lord, and give them strength in whatever stage of the disease they are in. Grant them healing and rid their bodies from this cancer. We want that cancer to be gone, Lord. Take it away. You don't need doctors and chemotherapy and radiation to do that. You spoke this world into existence, and if you are willing, Lord, you can rid everyone from their illnesses just by speaking your word. We know that you do not answer all prayers, Lord. Help us to have faith in you and trust you in whatever comes our way. We ask, Lord, to please be with all those who've had recent surgeries. And we thank you, Lord, for the healing that they've experienced. We think of Jamie Borsma and her knee surgery, Dalton Meyer, and Luke Veenstra with his jaw. Please be with Drew Geiser as he continues the chemotherapy and healing. Be with Mike Vanderwolde and the issues that he's dealing with. Please, God, comfort them and grant them your healing power. At this time of year, Lord, we also look ahead to going back to school. We ask, Lord, to please be with all the teachers and the students. Thank you for the summer break they could enjoy the past couple of months. Please, God, be with them as they prepare to go back to school in the next couple of weeks. Help them with their lesson plans and as they get their classrooms ready for the upcoming year. Please, God, be with them and bless them in their teaching of our young children through the schools. Please, God, be with us the rest of this day as we start a new week. Help us, Lord, to do everything in the honor and glory of your name, and forgive us for all the sins that we've committed. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
At this time, we'll have our morning offering for CRC Pastor Church Relations.
As we take our offering, please pass the friendship folders from the center on out.
Are there any announcements this morning?
Thank you for the live and a mic here. A lot of you probably don't know what I'm going to say, and I don't know myself hardly, but one of the items in the bulletin and the prayer concerns is that Rita and Dave Ingalls are moving to Michigan later this month, and I think next Sunday will be their last Sunday here, and will be a social time after the service to maybe express appreciation. You can either do that today or next week of their many years spent here in this church. They were Sunday school superintendents, teachers, disability concern members, council members, and many other things probably over the years that even I am not aware of, but express your appreciation to them and maybe spend a little bit of time at least next week as well. They're here today. I'm trying to embarrass them more than me, but thanks, Dave and Rita, for your time here. So.
I also have a couple of announcements. For those of you who are guests here, I serve in a part-time role as pastor of Congregational Life, and last Sunday, I gave opportunity for anybody who's interested in just finding out more information about our church, about membership, any questions at all, you can meet me in the fireside room. I'll do that again today and next week and probably other Sundays in the future. But just come for an informal time. If you have anything at all you want to talk about, even if you want prayer, I'll be there for prayer, and maybe the others will come and join me there too. The other thing is, if you are interested in membership and interested in a membership class, as I hear from people who might be interested in that, I'll make plans to hold a membership class for being a member here at Crossroads. So be thinking about that. I'll spend some time in the fireside room. You meet me there. Then also in regards to a couple of prayer things, many of you know LaVon Hammonds. Many of you don't know her as well, but she's been battling with multiple myeloma cancer for many years. She's going through a stem cell replacement treatment process in Iowa City. She had a rough start there this Wednesday when she went there. She was overwhelmed with information. Things with her room got messed up. Her purse was lost or stolen, but it's found. So she sent me a note just giving thanks to God. So thanks for your prayers, for those who knew about that, and just for your ongoing prayers in that regard for her. And just these words from her. I shortened it way down because, she writes volumes when she writes. So those of you who know her. But she's thankful that God's amazing grace, mercy, and power of prayer. She said, "I can only say that the sum of what he can do through the prayers of his people cannot be imagined or comprehended by the human mind. He is God, great and glorious, and also very tolerant of our weaknesses, so gentle, so loving. But life is incredible joy and an incredible battle, and I could not have fought this battle so far without the people of Crossroads. We must always remember that we are a covenant community, and through the life of prayer that God calls us to, we are lifesavers, shoulders to lean on, laughter to share, tears to shed. Thank you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I am continually filled with awe that there are people at Crossroads and actually around the world who have never met me and who are praying for me as I go through this stem cell process, probably the whole of her battle with cancer. We don't know how this is going to turn out, but we know that God is good, God is all-knowing, righteous and pure. And as my dear friend Norma said so beautifully, we know that in the end, we won't have to say goodbye anymore. The power of our faith and our hope." I also would like to personally ask for congregation's prayers. Our son Matthew and his wife Sarah live in the Dominican Republic in Santiago. They teach at a Christian academy. They've been home or been around in the States to her parents and us here for a while. She is pregnant, due in October, but she's been struggling with anxiety issues at this part of her pregnancy. And they're flying back to Dominican today. And one of the things that could raise her anxiety is a rough flight. So if you would just pray very specifically for a very smooth flight back to the DR and a smooth flight all the way around, we'd appreciate that.
Please rise.
Winnie has one more thing.
Second.
Well, there's cookies in honor, I think, of Dave and Rita, right? All right.
Please rise. People of God, as you go out into your world, go out asking your God for what you need and live in a relationship with Him, praising Him every day. Amen.